Let's pick up our Bibles and let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 1. And verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. By the grace of God today, I want to preach about the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before the throne of heaven today in great expectation again of your word and of the power and the authority that only you can manifest in our midst today. We pray that God, that you'd move upon every heart, soul, spirit, individual that's in this place today. We come against the foulness, Lord Jesus, of any foul spirit that would come against us today. And we pray in the blessed name of Jesus that your perfect and holy will be established within us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The wisdom of God. Hallelujah. I think sometimes it's an unusual thing for us to not to think that God is not wise. But sometimes, and many times in our logical thinking, sometimes we think the Lord is not so wise. And of course, naturally, we assume that the Lord, and we know, and we say, and we believe, and we say that we believe that the Lord knows all things. Don't we say that? And I think sometimes when we're in the midst of a problem or a situation, we don't think about the omniscience of God, how he's the all-knowing God, how he knows the beginning from the ending, and how he also has the knowledge of everything in between all of that. We forget about that. We forget about the power that God has at times, and how he can quickly change a situation or a circumstance, because we are human and we think from a human basis. And of course, naturally, we live in a realm of time, I was born on in a specific day, just like all of everyone in here was born on a specific day. And of course, according to the position of God, whether he raptures us or not, we will all go by way of the grave. Am I right? We will all go by way of the grave unless the Lord comes first. And I know sometimes that in the midst of our youth, we don't feel as though we would ever meet that. We feel as though that we have strength. You know, like the young ones here, they don't think about the things that are yet to come. They're involved with the now and with what happens now. And many of the adults, of course, we're involved in the future and what we could build for the future. And I really believe that according to the grace and the purpose of God, we do need to be a part and have a knowledge of the future. But there's something about the wisdom of God. There's something about the Spirit of God that's deeper than what we are. Amen? It's deeper than what we are. Sometimes we don't understand that. We don't understand that God is deeper, much deeper than what we are. And of course, naturally, it's not just an emotion, it's an experience. It's an experience. And this is the important thing about us understanding the position of beholding the power of the Holy Ghost. About beholding the power of the Holy Ghost. That means that you have the residence of the Spirit of God that dwells inside of you, that has sealed his Spirit upon your spirit because of his purpose and because of his grace. Now, naturally, what happens is sometimes we, after we've received the Holy Ghost and we've had the Holy Ghost for a while, we always are sensitive to what God has given us, but sometimes we're not fully aware of what the Lord is trying to do in our lives. We're not always fully aware. And many times we won't become aware of what the Lord is doing in our lives until he completes whatever he's doing at that particular time. But it takes us as an individual to yield to what God is doing. And so here we possess this wonderful power. And I think sometimes we so underestimate the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Now, I'm not going to say that you're going to be able to speak worlds into existence. But I know one thing, because of the power of God within you, you can change the existing world in your life. You can change the existing world in your life. You can change the existing world in some people's lives around you. But we have to behold the Spirit of God. Not because it's man's wisdom. It's because it's the wisdom of God. It's God's wisdom. It's God's power. It's God's Spirit. Amen? And so he equips us with the Spirit of God that we can utilize it. And I think sometimes we live in a cloud in life. We live in a cloud. It's a very clouded situation in life today. People are very disturbed about who they are, where they come from. Some folks have no identity, family-wise. And So people live in a cloud. It's a cloud. And I think all of us could verify that we know that there's a cloud around us. There's something, there's a lot of things around us that we don't understand. There's a lot of things that are happening that we don't understand. There's a lot of things that are happening around us that we have no power over, and we can't do anything about it. We can't change it. But the wisdom of God can. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God can. Because the wisdom of God is much deeper and much greater than man. And this is what we have to understand about having the value of the Spirit of God within it, in us. A person that has been filled with the Holy Ghost is not a common individual. If we are common, it's only because we carry ourselves as being common. There are certain things that are to be developed in us and even to be mastered in us. Because that's the will of God. It's not to make you an icon. It's not to make you a demigod. But it's to make you a child of God. Amen? A child of God. I think everyone should be striving to be a child of God. A child of God. The Holy Ghost is there to develop us and to make us, but not according to human wisdom, but according to the wisdom of God. Now, the problem with the church is because the church is made of flesh and spirit. It's got to be made of flesh and spirit. Everybody's in here in flesh and blood, so it's got to be made of flesh and spirit. Sometimes we have a tendency to yield more towards the human position than we do the spiritual position. Now, the problem, here's another one of our problems. Our problem is that we have to admit that to ourselves. That we have that automatic tendency to logically believe or assume that there's only one way to deal with the problem. And, of course, I think that stagnates our faith. I think the most important part about faith is that faith many times has to have a motive. When you believe God for something, what's your motive? What's your motive for believing God? What do you need from God? What's your motive? Is your motive for the glory of God, or is your motive just for your need? What's your motive? Am I right? See, you know, my thing is, you know, you can come out and you can preach to people and you can tell people, and you can fill people with information. But you know what? It's no good if they're not thinking. See, see, the wisdom of God causes us to think deeper in the spiritual realm and try to comprehend, what is God trying to tell me? What is God ministering to me about? Where is he trying to take me? Not just collectively, but as an individual. Why is God dealing with me in such a way? Did you ever ask that question? Why does God allow these things to take place in my life? Why does he allow these pitfalls and these problems and all these situations to happen? When life, he could make life a lot easier. Am I right? But the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of men. Amen? Because the wisdom of men would automatically lighten your load and make it easier for you. Am I right? We live in a society in the Western world that we believe in an easy life. We believe in a prosperous life. And if we don't have prosperity, we don't know what to do. Amen? But the scripture says that a man prosper as his soul prospereth. Y'all heard me preach that before. A man prospereth as his soul. So we live in this world of prosperity. And as soon as our position of prosperity is threatened, there's something wrong. God is a problem. Did anybody ever think about maybe it's the wisdom of God at work in your life? What's the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is knowing who you are and what you need. Not just what you need physically. Sometimes this is the first thing we think about, our physical needs. Our physical needs. No. What you need spiritually. What do you need to become a child of God, or more to become a child of God? Some people can't think beyond their stomachs. Am I right? This society that we live in today, we have a world out there that cannot think beyond their stomachs. If everything is beyond their stomachs, or their pocketbooks, or their car, or their house, or whatever, they cannot think beyond that. That basically is the wisdom of men today. That's where men live at today. Amen. How am I pay off my car? How am I pay my car note off? How do I deal? You know, we want God to answer. Here's what we want. Lord, pay off my mortgage or my house. Pay off my car note. Make life easier for me. But if the Lord made life easier for you, you might not obtain the wisdom of God. Oh, man, don't say that. You might not. You might not obtain the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God goes beyond this life. It goes beyond this life. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on my hands. Now, of course, this is Paul talking to Timothy. And he was telling Timothy, it was not just where he laid hands on Paul and Paul received the Holy Ghost, but he also ordained Paul to become, Paul also ordained Timothy to become a minister. So he's saying, there's a certain fire in you. There's a spirit that has raised up inside of you, a fervent fire that gives you power. And we should all live within that fervency of the power of the Holy Ghost. Because the Lord has given us His Spirit. Am I right? Now, I think one of the most difficult things to deal in is in the year 2007 that the Lord is dealing with a wacko church that speaks in tongues. But how do they speak in tongues? The Bible says that we are to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. Am I right? That's not just an event. The Bible also tells us that that's when the Lord speaks to us. He refreshes us. Refreshing. Refreshing. I talk a lot about the Holy Ghost because I realize that we need the activation of the power of the Holy Ghost within our lives today. We can't wait for tomorrow. We need it today. Because we need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God. We need what God has for us. We need the insight of what God has for us. Now, I'm going to show you something else in this scripture. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Anybody afraid? Now, don't get me wrong. Sister Wallace was talking about a human fear. But she also talked about in the position of that fear is that, and I can understand here, she away from home, in Germany, husband packs up, goes somewhere, you know, all these sisters been through it, you know, you by yourself, you're in this house or apartment or whatever, and of course, naturally, your enemy comes. The devil shows up. And in fact, he doesn't deal with you as a grown up. He deals with you as a child, like you said, little girl. And he wants you to remember all these things. And of course, naturally, here is the spirit of fear. I'm nervous. I'm afraid. You know? Is that a human position? Of course it is. That's very human. It's not unnatural to be fearful. Don't let nobody tell you that you shouldn't have fear. Because let me tell you something. If she did not experience that fear, she would not have used the wisdom of God. She used the wisdom of God because she, what she began to do? She began to pray. And she began to, experience the presence of God, and God's presence came and comforted her and strengthened her and uplifted her. Now, does she understand that? No. Because if she understood that, that would be the wisdom of men. But that's not the wisdom of men. That's the wisdom of God. Because the Lord said, he made us a promise. He said, I will never leave you. I will come on you. I will comfort you. He sent us a comforter. The comforter is not just relegated to when we come to church. When I get on a plane or a bus or a train or wherever I go and I travel alone, I'm never alone. The power of God and the Spirit of God is with me. Do I understand that? No, because that's the wisdom of God. I don't understand that. I don't see any physical presence with me. But we become bounded to that. We become bounded to that. And so, as you deal with that, we understand that the Bible says that God did not give us the spirit of fear. The Holy Ghost is not one that we should be afraid. Praise God. But the spirit of power. Power. Who understands and who can see from the wisdom of men? Who can look into the spiritual realm and take authority over the devil? You ever seen the devil before in the flesh? Never. The spirit of power. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. The spirit of power. Does human wisdom understand what the power of God does in the spiritual realm through the power of his blood? Do you understand that? Does anybody understand it? I don't understand it. I know, but I know I utilize it. Huh? When the devil comes and attacks your mind or your thoughts or your ideas, or maybe tries to build up walls and different things in the church or in where you work at or whatever he's trying to do, and you realize it's the handiwork of Satan, what you do? You use the power of God. You say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you. Praise God. Amen. Now, you know, the problem is, here's the problem with most people. Most people, even those who have the Holy Ghost today, instead of them using the wisdom of God, no, they use their logic. They try to reason logically with the situation. And you know what happens? They become entangled and ensnared. They create what? A worse problem. To the point is they can't even see there's an attack from the enemy. They can't even see it's an attack from the enemy. They can't see it's the devil just leading them out in a misdirection to just put them in a snare. Because the Lord gave us a spirit of power. And to say, okay, I don't understand this, Lord. I don't know what's taking place. I don't know what's happening. But I'm going to utilize what you gave me. How many times you been in a situation that's unclear to you? That you can't see through. Your mind can't go through it. And you start rebuking and binding spirits. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost comes. It makes everything clear. Tells you how to behave yourself. What to say, what not to say. How to treat the person, how not to treat the person. Praise God. Hallelujah. Step back. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Praise God. But we live in an aggressive world, and doing the wisdom of man, and through the wisdom of men, we're supposed to step up to the plate. You're not supposed to step back. Praise God. You're supposed to step up in this world. And I guess that's why we have so many divorce rates. That's how come so many people are single parents. Because everybody's stepping up. That's right. That's right. No unity. There's your own unity. Unity is, listen, let me tell you something. In order for me, we all know anybody that's married, got a family. We know in order for that family to grow, we all have to find a place at times where we have to yield, don't we? We have to yield to each other. It ain't always what I say on how I feel about it, what I think about it. Because if it's only the way I feel about it, that creates anarchy. Am I right? That creates anarchy. There's no unity there. And so therefore, it takes the Spirit of God to teach us how to yield at times when we need to yield. And to go forward at the times we need to go forward. But sometimes, here's the thing. The thing is, it takes the wisdom of God to know how to go forward. Am I right? Oh, I come up with a situation and tell my wife, well, this is how I feel about it. This is what we're going to do. And I'm leading the family this way. And she says, I ain't doing it. Hallelujah. And of course, naturally, you know how we feel. The human side, hey. Human side, you know, I need to step up to the plate here. You know? Now, sometimes the human, from the human wisdom, the man would say, well, we need to drag her across. Huh? Am I right? And from her perspective, she says, I'm not going to be dragged. Confrontation. That's confrontation, am I right? That's confrontation. Heads are bumping. And then we come to a place where we become confused in our own wisdom. How do we do this? How do we work this situation? How am I going to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish or do what needs to be done if she won't go along with me? And then I realize, oh, then we should realize, I can't make the difference, but the wisdom of God can. So what do? I begin to pray. And I tell the Lord what's taking place. And of course, I don't have to tell him because he already knows. But when, as I tell him what's taking place, and I bring this situation before the Lord, what does he do? If it is his will at that particular time and place, he'll deal with her heart. Am I right? He'll deal with her heart. Sometimes it takes time for him, and you've got to give him time to deal with the other person's heart. Oh, that's, I'm on a deadline. That's human logic, right? I'm on a deadline. What we need to do, we need to do now. Listen, when you're dealing with God, you do it in his time. Because his time is the time when it's actually going to work. But you know what we are? Here is the wisdom of man. We rush to live our lives. We rush to live our lives. It's like going to work on Monday. You go to work on Monday and everybody say, well, I'll be glad when Friday get here. Am I right? Because we rush to live our lives. Instead of us taking and enjoying our life from day to day, and realizing that every affliction and problem that comes within that day is all a part of that day. It's all a part of that day. The wisdom of God will teach us that. But the wisdom of man says, I sure be glad when it's Friday. So here I am, I'm waiting on the Lord to deal with our heart. And you know what happens? Here's what happened. Here's what has happened to me. I'm waiting on the Lord to deal with our heart. And then the Lord deals with mine. And he says, like he said to Abraham, listen to her. Wait. Amen? Do I understand that? Human understanding don't understand that. I'm still dealing with the time clock, God. Lord, this is where it's time. It's time now. You see how confused we become? Huh? Sometimes we become so confused in our desire to do what we need to do that we get confused in what God is trying to tell us and say, no, it's not the time. No, if it's ever going to be the time. Oh. But we determined. And then we come in church and say, well, you know, let me get somebody else. Let me get Brother Camp to pray about the situation. But the Lord already spoke to me. The Lord already spoke to me. When am I going to activate and use the wisdom of God? When am I going to activate and use the wisdom of God? I've learned one thing. When I start using the wisdom of God, my problems are over. It's over. Because why? I have found my place and I have yielded to the will of God. And once I yield to the will of God, things work better. Huh? Oh, hallelujah. It works better. It works better. He said, for I didn't give you the spirit of fear and of power and of love. My goodness. That's one of the hardest things to get across to the church. Love. Love. The spirit of love. He already paid the price with his own love. You don't understand that. He already paid the price with his own love. What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. Tear down our walls. Let's not recreate walls. This is the problem. Walls need to come down. Walls need to come down for the Spirit of God to flow through the body of Christ. No man. Now remember, God is no respecter of persons. He will not accept your ideas over mine. Nor will he accept. He will not do it. He will see. This is the problem. This is the wisdom of God. He will not accept your ideas over my ideas. He will not do it. Not in his presence. Now, he will not do it. He will not do it. He will not do it. And so many times we think that we can do it better. Or we have a better direction. You don't have a better direction. The only direction that you have is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is always the better direction. Because God gives us things according to our need. Our need. What's that? There's a lot of things deep inside of you that you really don't know what you have need of. You think you got it all intact if you put everything together. And that's the wisdom of man. I got it all. Hey, Lord, if you give me this raise, if you give me this job, if you give me this promotion, if you do this for me, if you do that for me, if you do all the things for me, and you know what? What if the Lord give you a demotion? Oh! What if the demotion is better for you than a promotion? Huh? You know what we say? It's a curse from the devil. Am I right? That first thing, oh man, you know, it's a curse from the devil. Huh? And we get out there and start puking and rebinding spirits, mad at folks, mad at everybody. And it's all it is the wisdom of God in working, working, working. Why? He's trying to develop us. He's trying to develop us. But what our problem is, we don't want affliction. Do you hear me? We don't want affliction. Well, if you don't want affliction, I'm going to get very honest with you. If you don't want affliction, you don't want to be a child of God. Because that's all part of the baggage. That's all part of the package. If you think God owes you something, forget it. He owes you nothing. He didn't have to pour out his spirit. He didn't have to die on Calvary's cross. He didn't have to do it. God owes us nothing. God owes you nothing as an individual, just like he owes us nothing collectively. But you know what we do owe him? Worship, honor, and praise. He owes you nothing. That's the wisdom of God. Listen, the wisdom of man, in our world, we believe God owes us everything. Oh, we pay our tithes. Am I right? I pay my tithes. I give good in tithe and offering. I tell you, the Lord, you know, I'm supposed to be blessed. Who said you're supposed to be blessed because you pay tithe and offering? There you go. That's your reasonable service. Nobody tell you you're supposed to be blessed because you pay tithes and offering? Huh? But hey, but this, listen, this is our thinking. Of course, naturally, we also know that if we sow, we reap. But here's another thing we miss in the scriptures. You have fat years, but you also have lean ones. Oh, I forgot about that. Nobody wants a lean year. Huh? I don't never want to be lean. I want food on my table all the time. Am I right? We live in a prosperous society. This is the danger of trying to be an American citizen and trying to be a Christian too. Oh, we don't want to hear that. Huh? This is the danger of trying to be American. Hey, you know, listen, some people on food stamps are more blessed than we are. They might not appear to be blessed because they're on food stamps. Let me go on just a little bit further. For God has not given a spirit of fear, power, and love. But the spirit of sound mind. We live in a society that is overwhelmed by emotions. Has no balance. Some people need to slow down and smell the coffee. You know, they look at you sometimes and say, how come you could be so calm? I got the Holy Ghost. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm not concerned. But if God doesn't have it intact, I guess we all got a problem. People need to slow down and smell the coffee. Soundness of mind. There's got to be stability in the church. God gave us the Holy Ghost. You know, I expect people to come in. They come from an erratic situation, broken families, all kinds of things. We have all that. We have all that in here, where people have come from all types of backgrounds. Let the Lord put all the pieces together in your mind. Let the Lord put the pieces together. You know, let Uncle Joseph off the hook. Forget about the past. You know, somebody tell me about what their mother did to them and how they. Listen, for all I'm concerned, here's where I feel. Or this is where I really feel. I've learned this, and I'm still learning this in the Holy Ghost. We have a responsibility as parents to teach our children how to walk in this world. And if no one else taught us that responsibility, since we've received the power of the Holy Ghost, the Lord can teach it to us. Amen? See, I can't depend on my parents anymore. My parents are dead. Amen? But I when I left home, at the age of 19 or whatever, after I went, was in college, came here, whatever, that was it for me. You know, that was it for me. Now, whatever my mother or my siblings or whatever around me could not do for me and have not done for me, I had to walk on with life. I can no longer say it was their problem or what they lacked to do. I can't do that. I cannot take my children and put that problem upon them. Because the Bible tells me that if the, here's what I believe, if the Lord has come into my life and broke the curse of the generation, praise God, then I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So there's some things I've got to let go, whether I understood what took place or not. Maybe mommy didn't treat me right. Maybe, unfortunately, you were molested by some adult in your family or whatever, right? Unfortunate, that's unfortunate. But you can't carry the scar with you, because God doesn't want us to carry the scar. The wisdom of man carries the scar. And we use the scar as a crutch. And you know what it does? It wounds us more and more and more, to where the power and the wisdom of God cannot work in us to liberate us from that situation. It can't work. And you know, I look at folks and say, listen, here's how it go. I didn't, listen, I'll be honest with anybody. I didn't have a daddy. I never knew who my father was. So if you had a father, thank God. I didn't know who my father was. My mother was a single parent. Praise God. If the man walked in here right now, the only way I could identify him is the fact that he looked like me. I don't know whether he's dead or alive, but I'm alive. My children are alive. Do they have to live with that scar? No. You know why? Life goes on. It's over. Praise God. I'm an adult now. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I can't go back and say, oh, I didn't have no daddy. And they just treated me so wrong. Life was so bad to me. Huh? I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Soundness of mind. I can put my feet on the ground. My children don't have to worry about the same thing that I had to worry about. My children are protected because they do have a father and they do have a mother, and they know the identity of their father and mother. But I want them to have a greater identity, and I want them to know the identity of Jesus Christ in their life. Praise God. And I have that responsibility. Did my mother do it, or did my father do it? Of course not, because that would have been the wisdom of men. But through the wisdom of God, God called me out. God said, hey, come on, let's go. When I was in the midst of darkness, when I didn't know what else to do, when life would have messed me up and would have possibly put me in a graveyard. But no, we say we got the Holy Ghost, we filled with the Holy Ghost. And we still lean on the wisdom of men. Lord, help us. Help us. Lean upon the wisdom of men. What does a man know that God does not know? Come on, y'all. Y'all tell me. Challenge me. What is it that man? See, you know, we get mad at God because God doesn't move in our lives the way we want him to move in our lives. Who are you to get mad at God? Who are you to get mad at God? Huh? You better be glad God doesn't get mad with you. See, this is the most important thing about humility. Huh? I don't want God to get mad at me. But no, we get mad at God. We get upset with God because we want God to move in a certain way, in a special way. And then it says, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partakers of the affliction according to what? The power of God. You're going through a trial. You're going through a situation. Are you being challenged in your life? You better all be. Why? Because the Lord all wants us to step up to the plate and not be ashamed of our testimony. What testimony? Man, I'm going through this problem. The Lord ain't delivered me yet. Huh. Oh, the Lord has delivered you. The Lord has delivered you. Because if you're sitting here, the Lord has delivered you. Huh? Oh, man, I still got this problem to get through. Listen, y'all, let me tell you something. When you get that through that problem, there's going to be more. There's going to be other things that come up. And you know what? I tell you one thing. As you live in life, the problems become more severe. You'll find that just trying to get that occupation is easy when you're trying to fight to keep your health. It's easy. It becomes real easy. You know what? You could forget about your occupation if you got cancer. Huh? Oh, man. That's extreme, Brother Greg. But it's happening in everybody's life. Do you realize it's happening around you every day? Did you hear your prayer request? Do you hear your prayer request? Do you see, this is the important thing about your prayer request. Your prayer request should bring to you that God is no respecter of persons. That life is no respecter of persons. You should understand that. See, this is the important part about understanding the importance of prayer. Because you pray. You're saying, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Amen? Not just help them, but help me also. Because it could be me. Amen? And since sometimes you need to look by and in the wisdom of God, thank God that it's not you. Oh, man. Thank God that it's not you. I thought about my physical problems the other day. And then I thought about some problems of someone else's. And I thought, well, thank you, Jesus. Do I know what God's doing? No, I don't know what God's doing. But I can trust him. Will you get the miracle? I don't know if I get the miracle or not. But he's still the same God. Hallelujah. If anybody can do it, he can. Does my understanding understand it? No, I don't understand that. I really don't understand it. And I wouldn't tell anybody that I do. I really would not tell anybody that I really do understand it. And I think that we need to understand how much we really do. Here we stand before a very large and a very big God. Hallelujah. Very large and a very big God. What are we before him as an individual? What are we before God collectively? Does the wisdom of God tell you that? You know what the beautiful thing is? How many people in here, I want you to raise your hands, have really believed that God has heard your prayer? Raise it high. That's good. You know why? That tells you one thing. No matter how small and how insignificant that you are, God knows where you are. The wisdom of man does not understand that. But the wisdom of God does. I'm nothing, Lord. I'm nothing. But when I pray, you answer. Let's stand. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jew, a stumbling block, and unto the Greek, foolishness. The Jews thought that Jesus was a scandal and an offense against the Jewish law, a rebellion. That's what the Jews thought about Jesus. And so the scripture says to him, to the Jew, is a stumbling block. They thought it was a scandal and offense against the Jewish law itself. And the Gentile, he thought it was foolishness. Absurd. Utterly unphilosophical nonsense. Let me tell you something, Greeks. Don't you ever think that the wisdom of God is foolish or nonsense. Because once you think it's foolish and it's nonsense and it has no place, you lose out with the power of God. That's right. It didn't make no sense. The Jews thought, well, man, it's a stumbling block. Just some old zealot that they raised up to bring havoc among our tradition and our what's name, what we believe. That's all. That's what the Jews thought. So they tripped over it. Stumbling block. But to the Greek, man, what you talking about? How could a person that be filled with the Holy Ghost think that speaking in tongues is foolish? How can somebody think that shouting for the Lord is foolish? How can think somebody being exuberant in the presence of God is foolish? Don't you think that? Because once you think that, you lose out of the wisdom of God. In other words, here's what you do. You bind the hands of God where God cannot work in your life. It's almost similar to blaspheming the power of the Holy Ghost. That's right. Oh, it don't make no sense to do all that. It's crazy. God doesn't answer them because they do that. Oh, yes, he does. You know why he answers? Because then he knows he is the full center of our attention. I know we all went to basketball games and soccer games and all these different football games, and my kids love soccer, and when somebody shoots a tour, the whole crowd shouts. They just go ballistic. Am I right? Well, when the Lord scores in our backyard, why don't we shout? Why don't we go ballistic? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we think we serve a solemn God. Well, if you serve a solemn God, let me tell you something. You know why you serve a solemn God? Because your God is dead. He's dead. But the God that I serve is well and alive. And he's got a well springing up inside of me. Hallelujah. And so it goes on. Go to 24, brother. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God. Move on. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Go forward, brother. For ye see your calling, brethren, and how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. Oh. We'll have too many doctors and lawyers in here. Do we? Praise God. Go on to the next one, brother. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. I ain't much of anything in the world, but I'm great in the presence of God. Hallelujah. No, I don't have 12 doctorate degrees, or I don't even have one. But you know, I don't need one to dwell in his presence and to be called of God. Praise God. Go to the next, brother. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. How do you bring things that are not? Through your faith. Through your faith. Miracles. Signs. Wonders. Hallelujah. Faith. Things that are not. Hallelujah. Things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Just like God spoke things into existence through the power and the wisdom of God, we can speak to the problem and it changes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Does anyone understand that? You can go to all the schools in Harvard, Yale, wherever you want to go. They don't understand it. Because why? It's the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of men. Turn to the next scripture, brother. And why does he do it? That no flesh shall glory in his sight. This is something about what we need to understand. God does not care who you are. Yeah, we need to understand that. This is such a bad situation in life that we want so much recognition for who we are. But what about who he is? That no flesh shall glory in his sight. Some people will walk in here today and say, how could God use a man like me or use a man like you? Because I'm nothing. That's why. Because I'm nothing. I have no glory in this world. I have no glory in this world. See, I have no glory in this world. I have nothing. I just have God. And God for me is everything. I don't have 12 degrees. I'm not making $150,000 a year. There's a lot of things I don't have. But there's so many things that I do have. Because I can bathe myself in the glory of God. And I can lead people to God. Praise God. Because you know why? Because it's not all about me. It's about him. No flesh shall glory in his presence. No one will ever be able. This is the dangerous thing about some of our so-called ministers today. Be careful. Be very careful. Because you might receive your reward here. And if you receive your reward here, there's no reward in heaven. Be very careful. Be very careful. Oh yeah, we don't have 10,000 people here. And we don't have a big TV network thing, whatever they all have. But be careful, because we don't want to build the kingdom of man. We want to build the kingdom of God. Because no one's going to go to heaven and says, well, Lord, look what I've done for you. No, sir. No, sir. No. No. That no flesh. Not by my ideas. I'm not the smartest person in the world, nor am I the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm just me. Amen. And I'm the one that God called. It's simple. I don't have a way around that. That's the way it is. But you know what? I have yielded myself to that. And I believe because I have yielded myself to that, that the Lord can show forth his glory. As soon as this church becomes my church, we all in trouble. Pray for me. That no flesh shall glory in his presence. Not one. And I believe every Sunday we can have the outpour of God's Spirit like we did this Sunday. Amen. It's according to the wisdom of God.